Ellen White's reaction. Writing from Sunnyside, Currambong, March 30, 1897, to Dear Brethren, Ellen White, after expressing her feelings of sadness over the developments, declared, "This is no sudden movement. The enemy has been at work for a long period of time. I knew that Brother and Sister McCullough would be strongly tempted in the very direction in which they are now. I knew that a crisis would come, that they would either see the defects in their home management, or else that Satan would blind their perception, so that the sin of Eli would become their sin. These things must be kept before the people, whether men will hear or refuse the warnings. I have not to study the consequences which may be the sure result to me. I have put myself in the hands of God. If he shall permit the enemy to do to me as he did to my Savior, shall I complain?" In her closing lines of the 6-page communication, she wrote, "You may inquire, what effect does this have upon you? Sorrow only, sorrow of soul, but peace and perfect rest, and trust in Jesus. To vindicate myself, my position, or my mission, I would not utter 10 words. I would not seek to give evidence of my work. By their fruits ye shall know them." She added, "We have never made meat eating a test of fellowship, never." On April 5 she addressed a communication to the church at Adelaide. It opened with words that may offer a basis for using the names of individuals in the recital of this experience. "It is your privilege and duty to stand firmly in the faith. I wish you now to see that which I never meant to be made public. It will explain to you the reason of this wonderful apostasy. Brother Haskell, I think, has the matter in clear lines," written to Brother McCullough after he had received a special blessing at the Currambong Bible Institute. Brother McCullough thanked me for reading this to him. "As he has poured out his tirade against me publicly, when I was not present to answer for myself, I think it just and right that his accusations shall be presented in writing or before others, that we may be able to answer them, point by point, and thus to disappoint the enemy in his determined efforts to accuse. This accusing spirit will continue till the close of time, but let none suppose that the Holy Spirit prompts them to work out Satan's attributes. They are working under another leader. We have seen this acted over and over again in our experience." Italics supplied. S.N. Haskell, soon after reaching Adelaide, listed in a letter to Ellen White the charges being made by McCullough in his public meetings and in his visiting the church members from house to house. Some of these points were: 1. That you are worth from £10,000 to £20,000. 2. That all your testimonies are written upon the testimony you received from others. 3. That you have tried to separate Brother and Sister McCullough. 4. That tea drinking and flesh eating are made tests among us and especially among the ministers. 5. That ministers have been disfellowshipped because they would not give them up. 6. That you have spent $3,000 on a 16-room house and have an awful household expense, and yet profess to believe the Lord is coming soon. 7. That your books are prepared by others and that you only give them ideas and books to select from. 8. That we do not educate people for the ministry, only for the canvassing work, and that your being located where you are is only to build up a school to educate canvassers to sell your books. 9. That in some meeting where a number of the brethren were, myself, Haskell, included, you saw that we all would live till the Lord would come and that we would all be saved, but many are dying, to our confusion. Haskell added, "And now their burden in name is Christian perfection, but in reality it is to attack positions on the sanctuary." S. And Haskell to EGW, April 5, 1897. Ellen White's assessment of the situation on Monday, April 6, is mentioned in her letter to Edson. "By the letters enclosed, you will learn that Brethren Hawkins and McCullough, who were laboring in Adelaide, have given up their position on the truth, and are going in for holiness altogether. They have come out against the testimonies of the Spirit of the Lord. Elder Daniels telegraphed this to us, and we at once made arrangements for Brother Starr and wife to go to Adelaide. Brother Haskell has left us for a week or two to visit Adelaide. We deemed it advisable for him to go. We thought that as Brother Haskell had ordained both Brethren McCullough and Hawkins, he might possibly save these poor, deluded men. He left us last Wednesday. Both Haskell and Starr gave frequent reports to Ellen White of the progress in their attempts to reclaim the men who were departing from the church. They labored hard with the two couples, but without success. Most of the members of the Adelaide Church were soon standing firm, however. The hall meetings of McCullough and Hawkins collapsed. Both men, with their wives, gave up the Sabbath. Hawkins found a position as pastor of a Baptist church in the little town of Manham about 40 miles east of Adelaide. Reports came in occasionally of McCullough filling appointments in Baptist churches. In July, he was reported to have gone to a little Baptist church about 50 miles from Adelaide.